This story starts with donuts on a string. Now, I had never heard of eating a donut on a string. I thought maybe the idea was that you have to eat it strategically so that you don't break the circle and let the donut slip off the string.
Wait, that's awesome. Do you, like, try to bite them without having them fall?
No, we just eat them off of there, and if they fall, we call the 5-second rule, then finish eating it.
That's Ivory Gerhardt Cyrus. Ivory is an 18-year-old from Kiana on the Kobuk River. 3 years ago, she started hosting weekly teen nights at her house. Friends would come over, play games, eat snacks, like donuts on a string. It didn't really matter what they were doing, because the point was what they weren't doing. They weren't drinking, and they weren't taking care of other people who had been drinking.
Yeah, I wanted to create a safe place for youth to go to when their parents are drinking.
Today, it's blossomed into so much more than that. Ivory's the founder of a youth group that runs meetings, applies for grants, travels to conferences, and hosts its own conference. But it started small, with a couple of teens, sometimes even just one, over at Ivory's house. Here's Ivory's mother, Jean.
Very often there were two people, or one person that came. Sometimes there were six. If we had donuts on a string, that was usually a good draw.
My name is Lauren Frost, and this is Story 49. Today, we're visiting Opt-In Kiana's second annual youth conference, held in April of this year. We'll also hear more about the history and the future of Opt-In. Let's go back to the beginning, even before the teen nights. Ivory attended a conference called Lead On. Here's Ivory.
Yes, Lead On for Peace and Equality in Anchorage, that is run by Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
And here's Ivory's mother, Jean, again.
Throughout the 3 days, they work on developing a plan for when they return home to carry on an activity to meet a community need that the youth have identified, and they can turn that into a grant application. So what Ivory wanted to do at first was start a youth center, and we kind of convinced her to start small, and she started with teen nights.
The teen nights weren't just about hanging out. The youth would discuss issues in their community, like bullying, domestic violence, and substance abuse. They brainstormed ways to respond to and prevent those problems. Eventually, Ivory founded Opt-In. The opt in Opt-In, spelled O-P-T, stands for one positive thing. Anyone who opts in to Opt-In is challenged to do at least one positive thing every day.
We really try to, you know, focus on the positive. You know, we've had people say, oh, so-and-so shouldn't be an opt-in. They're bullying other kids. And I would say, and that's exactly why they should be an opt-in. Because we talk every meeting about being positive.
Opt-In started holding weekly meetings with Jean Gerhardt Cyrus and the tribal president, Crystal Johnson, acting as mentors. More teens joined the group, and some preteens as well. I got a chance to speak to several of them.
Hi, my name is Shaden Barr, and I'm from Kiana, and I'm working with Opt-In.
Hi, my name is Kristen Jackson, and I'm from Kiana.
My name is Alexia Ray Nashik Johnson.
My name is Brayton Grigg.
Hi, my name is Isabella Gerhardt Cyrus.
Isabella is Ivory's younger sister. She attended Lead On with Ivory the following year, and it was Isabella who first suggested a conference in Kiana. Here's Ivory.
My younger sister Isabella came up with that idea. I just went along with it and said, okay.
A group of 5 opt-in youth did the bulk of the conference planning that year. They were involved with everything from booking the presenters.
We just got to choose which guests will appear at our conference.
to fundraising.
We had like bake sales. We had like raffles, like what we're doing in the gym right now, like 50-50 raffle. We split the money after.
Overall, Ivory sums it up this way.
A lot of planning in a short period of time.
Here's Jean again.
And, you know, it was a huge success. It was really exciting to know that these five youth basically planned this and pulled it off.
Last November, four youth from Kiana went to Lead On. They planned to host another youth conference. Ivory says this time they wanted it to be even bigger.
We wanted to invite the whole region because last year we invited just only kids from Kiana, and we saw how successful that went, and then we decided that we wanted to invite the whole Northwest region.
The group had many more months to plan this time around. Once again, they chose guests, raised money, and even picked the conference theme.
Every action counts and creates a ripple effect, so choose wisely. Our middle schoolers, Crystal Johnson, my mom, me, Isabella, we brainstormed the idea in one evening.
Every action counts and creates a ripple effect. Choose wisely. I asked Ivory why she liked that message.
Because it shows that you can make a difference, negative or positive. Either way, you're making a difference in other people's lives because you're a part of it.
It's a message that the opt-in youth want to pass on to their peers, and it's a message that they themselves have internalized. One middle schooler, Alexia, told me how being involved with opt-in has changed her behavior.
Do you think you were a positive force in your community?
Not before I joined opt-in. I started to be nice and kind and stop saying lots of stuff to kids. And I started encouraging kids what to do and stuff.
The second annual opt-in youth conference was held at the Kiana School over the course of 2 days in April. Youth from Kiana, Noatak, Buckland, and Kotzebue attended. The schedule was full but flexible, and youth had the freedom to choose activities that spoke to them. Outside, kids could ski using the equipment from the Nana Nordic program. Inside, they ate food prepared by volunteers.
We had a lot of food donated, so we had a lot of shellfish, we had caribou, and we had some muktuk, and that's really comfort food, and it was nice to be able to have that.
And they attended sessions aimed at inspiring them to do good in their communities, such as a workshop on suicide prevention run by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
Talking about suicide does not create or increase risk. It actually reduces it. So this is a big thing that within our organization, as we travel from region to region, we hear a lot about that. There are some communities, they don't want to talk about suicide. They don't want to mention the word. And they feel like it maybe will bring suicide into their community or cause their youth or their young adults to start thinking about suicide. But there's been research that shows that the more we talk about it, the more we open the door to young people and young adults to have these conversations, to maybe express that they need help if they're having thoughts of suicide, that it actually reduces the risk. So that's what our goal is as we're here, is to give you all the resources, the warning signs, how to get connected to help.
Some of the presenters had some real star power. Here's one of the opt-in middle schoolers, Shaden.
Like, we were excited about meeting Samuel Johns.
Samuel Johns, also known as AK Rebel, is an Athabascan artist from Copper Center who writes and performs rap music with positive messages. He's also involved in helping the homeless population in Anchorage. He crowdsources airline miles to send people back to their communities. And he brings his traditional drum to Beans Cafe, the shelter in Anchorage. He brought that drum to Kiana, too.
Hey,
And we are excited to see Nick Hansen, also the Eskimo Ninja Warrior from Uniclete. And he's also building an obstacle course right now.
Regular listeners of this program might remember Nick Hansen of American Ninja Warrior fame. For the second time this year, I was watching him build a ninja course from scratch. Later in the conference, the youth got a chance to try running to the top of the 14.5-foot warped wall.
You guys ready?
Oh, it was a blast. So I demonstrated it first just to kind of give them a rundown on how it's done. And then we just set up a line, and there was, you know, I mean, they kept getting back in line and getting back in line. And then Brighton, he stepped up. So one kid here in Kiana above the Arctic Circle, the first kid that I know of that's ever gotten up in warp wall, Brighton did it. And man, they went wild. Oh man, the gym went off. It was like a championship basketball game at state, and your team is playing, and we just won the 3-point contest. You know what I mean? I mean, we just won with a 3 at the buzzer. It was just like, what?
Brighton is one of the teens in opt-in. Later, I asked him about conquering the warped wall, but he had trouble putting the experience into words.
Words can't describe it. No, it just felt amazing. I was confident to get it. Maybe that's why I got it.
Nick Hansen gets what he's going through.
You know, I know the feeling, because when I first got up the warp wall, I mean, you know, if you look at the videos, if you look at my Facebook page or whatever, I have that picture posted. I Instagram, it's posted, because it's that moment of just like, yes, you know, it's such a great accomplishment. And the coolest part about it is all the kids helped me build it. So not only do they get the sense of accomplishment that they helped me build this thing, you know, everybody put in at least a screw or two, and everybody held at least a piece of lumber or helped me clean up or whatever it might have taken, and everybody pitched in. And to be able to do that and then reach the top, I mean, talk about accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment, you know, and I mean, that's what it's all about. And I know exactly how Brighton feels, and it's such a good feeling.
There were a couple of moments like that at the conference. Moments of true connection between a teen and one of the presenters. Sakura Kwiting was at the conference to help with some of the group activities. She had a special moment with Shaden in the cafeteria. Here's Shaden.
We were serving food to the elders, and I thought she was an elder, and I gave her food. And then the next day she said, yesterday a girl gave me food and said I was an elder, and I was like, that was me. And then she said, yeah. And then she grabbed me and hugged me and started crying. And then I started crying. And then she was really close to me. And then for some reason, my eyes got watery because I felt like sad because she was really hugging me. So my eyes just start tearing up because we were talking about like to respect our elders, like we're the elders of our older brothers and sisters are younger classmates, and so that's why we were talking about, that's why maybe she was crying, because I thought she was an elder, and she said that she's getting to be an elder. She said at the end of the day today she's going to give me her atikluk.
The atikluk was one that Sikorik had just finished making herself. She wore it as she told the story to a whole gym full of conference participants.
I'm an elder in training, and for the very first time, I got served as an elder for dinner. And I want to acknowledge that as Shaden was my server. So I made this atikluk just the other day, my awesome Kiana color, so at the end of the day, I'm going to give it to you.
Arigato. Because it's
overall, the conference was a success. There were a lot of lessons to be learned from all the presenters, but I thought I'd let the opt-in youth sum it up with some advice of their own.
The advice we wanted to give you guys in our area is to choose kindness and try to speak up to others and stuff.
be positive all over your community and help elders and just stop bullying other students, because that's a big deal.
Just keep a good mindset and focus on your goals.
Try to be positive and do what you can to help people. Listen to your elders, be respectful, be kind, and basically follow the Inupiaq.
Please come and join us next year on our third annual conference.
There are a lot of great programs for youth in Alaska. But Jean says many programs are geared toward youth who have already distinguished themselves as leaders of their communities.
You know, when a lot of opportunities ask for a teacher recommendation, but there are kids who are not going to get a teacher recommendation to go on this opportunity. People generally feel like you have to deserve opportunities, and youth who probably need it the most are often the ones excluded. And what I say is if you exclude them, you lose the opportunity to be a positive influence. So what do you leave them with?
Under Jean's guidance, Opt-In operates with a different philosophy.
We're not looking for people who have arrived necessarily. We're looking for people who want to be there. And a lot of times if kids are having discipline issues or really struggling or attendance issues or whatever, that's all people can see. They forget that this is the kid, you know, was on Facebook the other day. This is the kid that walked a younger student home because they were afraid there was a loose dog and they didn't want them to get hurt. You know, that it's okay to acknowledge that even if this is a kid that's having discipline issues. It, in fact, it's probably even more important to acknowledge it because they need to have those positives.
Anyone and everyone is encouraged to opt in.
And I always say it's easier to get into opt in than it is to get out. Because if you stop showing up, we're going to be bugging you. We're going to be like, hey, you know, we're meeting Monday. Are you going to come? Well, I don't know. Well, we hope you're going to be there, you know.
That sense of egalitarianism is present in the meetings as well.
We don't have elected positions. So we don't have a president. We don't have a secretary. We don't have a chair. What we do is we rotate those positions. So we have usually two youth who help develop the agenda. We give them a format and we help them flesh it out. Then at the meeting, we have a chair. And then we usually have two secretaries, because there's a lot to write down and we help. And usually one will sit by Crystal and one will sit by me. And then we can kind of help them. And then we have a treasurer and we're working on getting binders together so that the chair opens the binder and there it is, you know. So we rotate those positions because everybody can gain from that experience.
Jean hopes that through the meetings, trips, and conferences, the youth in Opt-In learn that they can all play a part in improving and sustaining their community.
You know, we want people to see that, yeah, I can be involved in something positive. And not only that, I can be acknowledged for it. I can be recognized for it. And that, I think, is so important, because if all we recognize is the negative, that's what we're going to get. And everybody has something to offer.
It's a message that especially resonates with Jean because of her daughter's experiences.
Ivory's a great example of, you know, I mean, definitely having gone through incredible struggles.
Ivory was adopted. Ivory's birth mother drank, and Ivory was born with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. In Alaska, over 120 kids are diagnosed with FASD every year, though there may be even more cases that go unreported. Growing up, Ivory didn't always have teachers at school that understood her needs.
Because they think if you just punish them enough, then they'll stop it. But when people have anxiety or they have other mental health issues, or if they have experienced trauma or those kinds of things, it's not one size fits all, and it doesn't work if we try to punish it. It doesn't make it go away. You can't undo what's been done.
Jean remembers being told that her daughter didn't want to learn or that she wasn't working hard.
And, I mean, this is a kid who would come home exhausted after school and sleep. We would wake her up for dinner, and she would go back to sleep. She was so exhausted from trying.
Luckily, there were some teachers who saw Ivory's potential and found ways to help her thrive.
The biggest difference is she had appropriate accommodations, and she had an aide who got it. That's why she's being successful, because it was not something she could do on her own. And until she got the right services and supports, it looked like she wasn't trying. But they didn't see her come home and cry herself to sleep every night and say they don't know what it's like not to have any friends. You know, and this was, she didn't. And she didn't because of her behaviors. But her behaviors were not because she was bad. Her behaviors was because she didn't have appropriate coping skills. And rather than work with her on that, they were, you know, punishing her.
Now, Ivory has really found her niche. She's a part of Optin. She has a job at a local store where she's been working for 6 years. She graduated from high school as an honor roll student. She's been accepted to UAA to study aviation administration. And she's getting recognition for her achievements at the state and even national level. Senator Dan Sullivan spoke about her.
On the Senate floor in D.C. with President Trump there, he portrays an Alaskan of the week.
So this week, I'd like to introduce you to 18-year-old Ivory Gerhardt Cyrus, this week's Alaskan of the week. Ivory lives in
Sullivan
Triana.
Spoke about Ivory's advocacy for students with special needs and about Optin. He praised her motivation and her positivity as well.
Ivory gives us all hope for the future.
Ivory was also one of 5 winners of the YWCA's 27th Annual Young People of Achievement Awards in Alaska. Not only that,
I was in all the judges' top 5, and I was the only one outside of the Anchorage area to receive the award.
Ivory and Jean both went to the award presentation.
Yeah, they did held a ceremony. It was in February, and they paid for our hair and makeup and stuff like that. Then they had a podium and the whole stage and spotlight and everything.
When she got that award, I mean, from the time I saw her standing on stage, I just bawled the whole time, because it was like, finally, people are seeing that, what I knew was there all along. I am incredibly proud of her.
Thank you so much to all who made this episode possible. Special thanks to Jean Gerhardt Cyrus, Ivory Gerhardt Cyrus, Isabella Gerhardt Cyrus, Brighton Gregg, Shaden Barr, Kristen Jackson, Alexia Johnson, Crystal Johnson, Nick Hansen, the school in Kiana, and all of the youth and adults at the 2nd annual Optin Kiana Youth Conference. Music in this episode was by Mystery Mammal and Kevin McLeod. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221 or by email at story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.